Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we begin today on Beacon Hill, where the legislature is tackling the state budget 6 months later because of COVID-19. And with so much at stake this year, they could be taking up some policy changes that go beyond the dollars and cents. Well, WBUR's Steve Brown is there. He joins us on the line now. Welcome back, Steve.
Hi, Tiziana.
So I know there's a lot. Can you give us an overview? Tell us what's on the table and what's the latest?
Sure. They're slowly going through their blueprint to spend $46 billion. Now, most of the discussion that's been going on about amendments takes place on Zoom, just among the members. The public isn't allowed to watch. I've been watching the session on a TV screen here in my office, and for most of the day, they have been in a recess. Now, I'm watching because there could be some interesting amendments ahead. We just have no idea when they're going to come up.
So I referenced this six-month delay due to COVID. How's that affecting things, Steve?
Yeah, normally they'd be having this debate back in April. The House does it in April. The Senate would do it in May. They'd come up with a compromise in June. And then July 1st would be the beginning of the fiscal year. Well, of course, they couldn't gather back then because of the pandemic. Also, there was a lot of uncertainty over the economy and how much, if any, aid the state would be getting from Washington. So legislators who write the budget say that this delay was actually time well spent, because now they have a better handle on state finances. They know that they can dip into some one-time revenues to balance the budget with the hopes that revenues will be a little bit better next year.
You mentioned there could be some interesting amendments ahead. I understand there are 777 budget amendments. They cannot all be created equally. So what are the major things to look out for?
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of amendments, and it is. They still have, I just did a rough count, they've disposed of about a little over 300 of them. They got 420 to go. Most of them are more symbolic amendments that gives legislators a chance to say that they asked for a certain amount of money to benefit their district. Most of them wind up getting withdrawn or just not included in the final version. They did overwhelmingly vote down an amendment the other day from Mike Conley of Cambridge that would have raised taxes on unearned income. Only 30 of the House's most progressive members went along with that. But there are a couple of more amendments in the hopper that I'm still keeping an eye out for.
I want to take a closer look at one of those. Our listeners might not expect that there's an amendment, a budget amendment to the Roe Act, which would codify abortion rights into state law and make abortions legal after 24 weeks under certain circumstances. Can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, as you say, it would update the legal language governing abortions in state law. Supporters of the Roe Act and of this amendment say that the state laws relating to abortion were written back in the 1970s, soon after Roe versus Wade. And they say that language is outdated and doesn't reflect the proper medical or scientific terms. This would update that. Groups opposed to abortion say that the procedure is accessible in Massachusetts. There was a hearing on this bill over a year ago, and the president of Mass Citizens for Life said that this legislation is to fix something that isn't broken, adding it solves nothing and is a reckless reaction to the far right. The language allows abortions after 24 weeks in more cases, not just to save the life of a mother, but allows a doctor to determine, and this is the language here, lethal fetal anomaly incompatible with sustained life outside the uterus. It also would create a process for women under the age of 16 to secure the procedure without parental consent. They'd have to go before a judge. Currently, the law is 18 years. This amendment pretty much mirrors a separate bill that would do the same thing. I think the House leadership wants to include it in the budget for expediency's sake, so that they don't have to deal with it in a standalone bill. Now, I'm hearing a similar budget amendment will be filed over in the Senate when they debate the budget next week.
Steve, this begs the question, if the confirmation to the Supreme Court of now Justice Amy Coney Barrett added a sense of urgency to this or is driving this?
Yeah, I definitely think that was the impetus to get this done up here. It has pretty broad support in the heavily Democratic legislature, and the latest SCOTUS appointment was just the push that it needed to get it going here in the building.
All right, let's stay with this relationship between what's happening in the State House and national governance and politics. Joe Biden is the projected president-elect. There's speculation about Senator Elizabeth Warren as a possible Treasury Secretary. I understand that one of these 777 amendments, which is proposed by Amherst Democrat Mindy Dohm, would prevent Republican Governor Charlie Baker from appointing someone from a party other than Warren's to fill her seat if that seat should open up. So I want to ask about that. The basis for it, does it have a lot of support?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it has a lot of support, but it is a fascinating amendment, especially for political wonks like myself. And I guess I'd include you in there too, Tiziana.
It states
that the governor would need to appoint someone from that same party as the person who left, causing the vacancy. Now, as the law is written now, the governor gets to make an interim appointment if there is a vacancy in the U.S. Senate. Now, that appointment gets to serve roughly 6 months in the U.S. Senate until a special election is held. Now, this wasn't a concern the last two times when then-Governor Deval Patrick, a Democrat, appointed Democrats to fill vacancies, once after Ted Kennedy died, and the second time when John Kerry became Secretary of State. Now, with Republican Governor Charlie Baker getting to make that pick, should one be needed, well, we don't even know if one's going to be needed yet, some fear that he could appoint a Republican to fill that temporary position, giving the GOP an extra seat in the already closely split U.S. Senate. Now, I've been asking around, and I'm not hearing that this amendment is gaining a lot of traction, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Somebody posed the question to me today, if the governor could appoint himself, doesn't seem like something he'd do, but could he?
Yeah, he could. Simple as that, he could.
There you go.
You know, the thing is, he would still have to be subject to that special election. So he'd appoint himself temporarily, and presumably if he were to do that, then he would throw his hat in the ring to be the Republican nominee in the special election. He would have to win that. If he didn't win that, he'd be out of a job.
So I do want to ask, let's move beyond the budget work now. There are other legislative items sort of sitting with the State House. I'm thinking specifically of the police reform bill, which has been in process since July. What's going on with other legislation?
Sure, police reform, health care, climate change, just to name a few. They're all holed up in conference committee, and conference committee members are very tight-lipped about what's going on behind closed doors. I'll reach out to them periodically, and they won't even let me know if they're meeting. I would suspect that as the House and the Senate are finishing up the budget this month, those bills will probably start popping from conference committees. It's just an up or down vote. There's no changes that can be made. So then if accepted, the bill would then go onto the governor's desk for his signature.
All right, we just touched a minute ago on Governor Charlie Baker and the national elections. I want to go back there because the governor condemned President Trump's challenge to the election results. You were in the room when he said it. Here it is.
I'm dismayed to hear the baseless claims coming from the president, from his team, and from many other elected Republican officials in Washington. This latest move to employ the Department of Justice in all of this is so wildly inappropriate. And stalling an orderly transition process, especially at a time like this, is equally unacceptable.
Steve, that seems to me to be surprising from the governor, given sort of how even-keeled he is, his record on comments on the president. Is it surprising to you?
It was. I tweeted out during that statement that it was the most full-throated condemnation of anything that Donald Trump has done from Charlie Baker. Baker has been extremely careful not to make his criticisms personal, but you can tell he is fed up with baseless allegations from President Trump and his supporters that Joe Biden is not yet president-elect.
Well, that's WBUR reporter Steve Brown. I appreciate you checking in with us from the State House. Steve, thanks.
Thank you, Tiziana.